The Sport Buffet with Tex and Wes.
I want a tryout, man.
We are on the precipice of something that's never happened.
Starring the wisdom guy, Tex.
Walk softly and miss several games because of frostbite in August.
Here's Matt and Tex.
Just a beautiful sound you introduced us with there, producer for the day.
That must be Tex back there because he's not in here.
Yeah, he's been in the bathroom. He's been in the bathroom all morning. He loves it when we talk about his need to go to the restroom like four times an hour.
Or him eating.
Well, he doesn't eat that much. He eats like a little girl.
Oh, does he? Is that the kid's table? Or
compared to me, everyone eats like a little girl, I guess.
What does eating like a little girl mean? Like, I don't know.
It means that the volume of food he eats is less than a little boy, even. All right. Josh wanted us to give a shout-out to a Syracuse Orange. I didn't even know he was a Syracuse fan, but he's given some love to the Orange, who have won two overtime games in a row. Quite exciting. And we'll talk about that more. But before we do, and we talk the NHL on this show not every week. It's not our biggest topic, but we like to talk. You know, last year we had on a couple of brothers that covered for some newspaper in Detroit called the Goober Brothers, and we may have them on again. But this year I'm very excited to introduce next expert to the field that we have, Mac Rogers, I believe is his name. And if that's not his name, that's what I'm going with, Mac Rogers. And Mac Rogers is an NHL expert. And even during the break, he was dropping some NHL knowledge on me, and he was telling me a story and what its repercussions were. So before I even ask you a question, Mac, I want you to tell the audience what you were telling me during the break about the decision the NHL means, what the decision the NHL made and what it means.
Well, thanks for having me on the show. Always good to talk some hockey.
Absolutely, Mac.
Yesterday, the NHL announced that they were going to depart from their location in Toronto for the NHL Awards, which happens in June, and they're going to go to Las Vegas. And I just thought that was kind of curious because the NHL's been in Toronto for a number of years with that award show, and moving to Vegas sounds like they're just trying to put some pizzazz into maybe an already traditional thing.
Yeah, and a lot of times, I mean, even in churches, which the producer for the day, I'm trying to convince him since he's sitting in the studio here with me to come. My church is having a work day today, and, you know, you're welcome to come too, Mac. Anyone who wants to come paint and clean, you know, call me up or send me an email, and I'll tell you where to go to help clean up. But even in churches, you have this debate about traditional and contemporary, and in sports, should we keep tradition? People complain about the Pro Bowl, and I know that's a football thing, moving it from beyond the Super Bowl to in front of it. You know, there's always this tension. Should we keep traditions? Should we let the Lions continue to play on Thanksgiving? And in hockey, should we keep traditions like having the award ceremony in Toronto? Or should we go more contemporary, more jazz, more hippie? And yeah, and by hippie, hippie's probably the poor choice of words, but more hip by going and having it in Vegas, which is, you know, what I like to call it is the end thing. It's the it's the end thing, or as some might say, you know, the flavor of the month. So
what do the diehard Canadians think about that?
Yeah, and I guess
that
would be my question, Mac.
Are
I mean, obviously they're not all going to come to Vegas, but what do the people in Toronto think? Are they crying?
Well, I mean, they've got some other things. Excuse me, that they can hold on to still. I think that the NHL realizes, and even the fans in Canada realize, that they're the number four, you know, sport in the U.S. market, which is the largest sports market in the world.
Yeah.
And they need to do something to keep the NHL in the forefront in the U.S. And without doing some of these things, like the outdoor game, even as a departure from tradition, these NHL clubs could be in trouble financially. So.
Yeah, and you call the outdoor game a departure from tradition, and I suppose that it is. But I think that is a phenomenal idea, and I guess this is where I may differ from NHL diehards, and Mac could let me know his opinion on that. But I think the outdoor game is a rousing success and a great idea. Do you disagree with that, Mac?
Oh, no, I totally agree. I think from a marketing standpoint, it's probably the best thing I've seen the NHL do in about 10 years.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I think it's been a real success.
Yeah, and one of the things, and this is when we were in a bunker in Colorado, Tex and I were talking about the NHL, And he was talking about how they needed to market better to northern white guys. And I said, look, northern white guys is their core. What they need is to market to the other people. And I think going to Vegas is what they're is a step in that direction. Now, is an award ceremony really going to bring that many fans? I don't know. That remains to be seen. And he suggested getting Larry the Cable Guy to do some marketing. He said something like that would go a long way because it would hit people who are not currently watching hockey. And so do you think that this move to Las Vegas, first of all, do you think it will be successful? And second of all, what do you think would accomplish what they're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be successful. As a fan of the NHL, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I'm you know, watching the clock waiting for that show to start. I just think that, you know, it'll actually be kind of fun for the players and the people that are involved. I think they'll enjoy that. Whether it'll last long term, I don't know, but it just shows the NHL trying to dig into some new U.S. markets, and Vegas has always been on the radar for a possible expansion team. So,
and what do you think about expansion teams to the South? Because I'm going to be honest, here in Florida we have Tampa, and is there? I don't think there's another NHL team in Florida, and this is where the hockey guys are going to kill me. I'm pretty sure Tampa's the only one. Correct me now,
Mac. That's why I'm here. They do have two teams actually. The Tampa Bay Lightning and the Florida Panthers, which reside down in the Miami area.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I actually did know about them, but
who are fighting for a playoff spot? I add.
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying to I try to forget if Miami is part of Florida sometimes.
Well, they did get to the finals one year. I mean, I guess Tampa won the Stanley Cup in 2004.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Florida's had some success. So.
Now, yeah, and it's not the success of the teams, but I'm going to be honest. As growing up, we never got to play hockey, and that's because when are you going to play? We never have ice outside, and I know they're more popular now, but ice skating rinks even were when I was a young boy, they were hard to find. And now they're a little bit easier to find, but they're still not like excessive to every street corner. They're still relatively difficult to run into. And so I think even now it's hard to develop youth hockey in Florida. Do you think they would be better served having teams like they used to in Hartford and some of those other Northeast teams instead of all the teams they've started in the Sun Belt?
Well, that's a good question. On the hockey side, one of the things I've seen that's sort of relative to basketball is the popularity of roller hockey, which is a less expensive, easier to produce environment. So,
yeah.
There are some possibilities that the sport can grow that way. There's no question. I mean, this is something where you hear arguments all the time about trying to bring back some more teams to Canada because that's where hockey started and that's where the passion resides. And it's really a dollars and cents thing. I think that in a perfect scenario, the NHL would love nothing more than to have successful teams in the Sun Belt. And I think they're still committed to doing that. Although with the current economic structure and the issues we're having in our U.S. economy, I mean, the chances of survival for teams in the South, you know, that just is even more difficult right now and is even more of an argument for clubs to want to have more teams in Canada again.
Right. Do you think there's any danger of contracting?
Oh, man. I don't. Okay. I think we're right where we are. I think that I don't really see any teams leaving. I think they may expand, but it's not going to happen for at least 4 or 5 years.
Well, I'm going to go on record as saying I don't think expansion is a good idea at
this
point.
I don't either.
Having said that, I want to get into the NHL proper and the season that's going on. Yeah. And we have playoff spots. And you mentioned Florida. And it's even in my notes here. Florida's fighting for a playoff spot. Caroline, I this is just a brain slip. I apologize to all hockey fans. You can send your hate mail to live@thesportbuffet.com. You're listening to Sport Buffet. We're interviewing hockey expert Mac Rogers. Now, Mac, Florida's fighting for that spot. Do they have any chance of catching Carolina or the Rangers? And, well, I guess they obviously have a chance. Do you think they will?
I really don't. I think when you look at the playoffs and you're starting to see, you know, just how it's tightening up, where you've got 5 teams within 4 points and you've got 6 teams within 6 points and you got a whole bunch of people in the East fighting for about 2 playoff spots, like 6 teams fighting for a couple of playoff spots. I just think right where the standings are right now is probably where they're going to be.
Okay.
When you look at the playoffs and the playoff race, you kind of have to look at the teams that have that extra gear that they can kick into. And I just having watched Florida a few times recently, I mean, they're a great hockey club and they have a lot to be proud of. I just don't know if they have that extra gear to get them into the playoffs and get them over the top.
Okay.
If they do, it's going to be on the backs of their goaltender, Thomas Vokoun, who's just an amazing
talent. Is very good, no doubt. I mean, if you look at it, they have given up fewer than 200 goals, which at this point in the season, I mean, obviously Boston, New Jersey, and the East can say that barely in that are Philadelphia and Carolina, and the goaltending for Florida has been right up there with the best teams. Now, offensively, they've scored fewer than 200, too, which is kind of a negative. But anyway, so that's where Florida's kind of sitting at. Now, I would be remiss if I did not mention the thing that I have brought up the last few weeks when talking about hockey is I think this trade for Bill Guerin, and I hope I'm pronouncing that right.
Guerin.
See that'll teach me to pronounce names. Now, having said that, I think that trade that Pittsburgh made for him was phenomenal. I think that he brings to them a lot of what Hossa brought last year, and I think he is going to give them. They may not make it to the finals, but I think they're certainly going to make some noise in that Eastern Conference bracket. And right now, if the season were to end today, based on what I'm looking at, you would have a Crosby-Ovechkin first round, and that would be very exciting. But I guess, do you agree with me that trade is a deal winner for Pittsburgh, and do you agree that they can make some noise in the playoffs?
Well, I think it's probably arguably the best trade that was made on the deadline, maybe only to the Olli Jokinen trade that Calgary made, which has been just an amazingly great trade for them from a point production standpoint. Bill Guerin brings experience and that veteran leadership that's necessary. He's also got some good hands that can put the puck in the net and distribute the puck. I think if you look at Guerin in combination with a trade they made about a week before the trade deadline to acquire Chris Kunitz from Anaheim,
yes,
really sets up Crosby's line to be...
Yeah, I think this is the best line he's ever had. I mean, I think we said that in pre-show talks. Is that correct?
I totally agree. I mean, no discredit to Hossa. He was an amazing player, and I'd take him back in a heartbeat. But when
absolutely.
You look at Hossa and Dupuis flagging Crosby, and then you compare Guerin and Kunitz, I mean, it's a much more balanced line. Yeah, I think Pittsburgh's a team to be reckoned with. And an Ovechkin, Crosby, Semin, Malkin first-round playoff, I personally would rather see him play in the semifinals because I think that whoever wins that series, and it's a toss-up if Pittsburgh played Washington, I don't know how the team that would win, how they'd be able to be walking after that series.
I think, yeah, I'd like to see it in the conference finals, and that may be what you were meaning by semifinals.
Yes.
Now, we have not even broached the subject of the Western Conference, and maybe we'll need to have you back on next week to talk about that, because I don't want to go to the West before we talk about New Jersey and their goalie, Martin Brodeur.
Yeah.
Is about to, or maybe he did, I think he's still one away from tying up and passing Patrick Waugh for the career wins by a goaltender.
Yes.
And he plays tonight. As I look at the schedule, he's playing tonight. What significance do you think that record has?
Well, I think it's a tremendous accomplishment. I mean, Patrick Waugh is probably regarded as one of the top three goaltenders of all time. Brodeur certainly now fits nicely into that to that number. This is a tremendous story. You know, goaltenders in hockey, if those who aren't familiar with them, are really weird dudes. They are just absolutely...
absolutely,
they
yeah.
are the craziest things. I mean, they're just story... You know, read this week's SI with Pujols on the cover. There's a great story in there, and it talks about some of the crazy things that goaltenders pull off their teams and their traditions. It's absolutely crazy.
Yes.
But Brodeur, I think, is a sit down and have a beer with that kind of guy. He's a normal guy. This is a great story. I think what also is great theater is he is going back to Montreal where Patrick Waugh played a large chunk of his career and where Martin Brodeur grew up. So he's coming back to his hometown to play in front of his friends and family, in front of the team that he admired. I think his dad actually was the official team photographer at Montreal for a number of years. So there's even that connection. So he's going to go back and tie his boyhood idol, essentially,
yeah,
in wins. And then he's only
you're
like
making
three shutouts away from that record too. So he could go down as the best goalie of all time.
So you're making the assertion that he's going to win tonight, not just that he's playing tonight, but that he is going to win.
The Devils are weird. They find ways to make it happen, and if Brodeur wants to win, he can win.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is the NHL. Anything's possible. It's just like the NFL. I really hope he wins. I think it would be a tremendous story.
And doing away with the ties, I think, makes it easier to win. They did that several years ago, I know, but I think that makes it easier to win where Patrick Waugh played a greater percentage of his career with the tie as a possibility. And so getting a win now is statistically easier than it was. I'm not trying to downplay the accomplishment.
No, I think that's a great argument, and I think the Patrick Waugh fan club would probably say the same thing.
Yes.
The reality is Brodeur's 36. I mean, he's going to have injury.
Absolutely,
predicated on injury, he's going to have three or four more solid seasons. I think he's going to be able to put enough distance in this record to take that argument away.
Yeah, and again, I'm not using it so much as an argument, but I guess it could be, and I guess it's the same argument people use when Maris passed up Babe Ruth. Well, not the same, but it's a very similar argument. Now, I wanted to real quickly, and we're kind of pressing up against a break here, but I wanted to talk about, and you're listening to Sport Buffet, we're interviewing NHL and hockey expert Mac Rogers, but I want to talk about the fighting, and I know the GMs met in Naples this week, and fighting was a topic. What do you think they're going to come to as a resolution on fighting? Because let's face it, if you've ever played hockey, you know fights are going to happen. I think to try to legislate it is to some degree impossible. But I want to hear from you, Matt, because I have a lot more faith in your ability to know than mine.
Well, first of all, I would never be successful at fighting, so I don't particularly enjoy it. I don't think that it's ever going to be removed from the game. The NHL is clearly trying to set a precedent here that it's not all about fighting, but that it's going to always fight the battle of the respect that fighting may be a necessary evil in the game. And really what they were working on is that they came out with a statistic that 20% of all fights in the NHL are what they call these staged fights, which means that even before the puck is dropped on a play, they've got the two big guys on each team dropping the gloves and fighting. And they're trying to find a way to maybe curb that a little bit. And the reality is any rule they put in place, the players are going to find ways to kind of have loopholes and get right back into it. So the way I look at it is, several years ago they were trying to find ways to keep the players from fighting with the fans in the stands. And now they're trying to just curb it back a little bit on the ice. And I think the game is just fine where it is. Even if they make a few tweaks, I don't think it's going to make a huge difference, and I think there should be a pretty happy medium there. Yeah. I don't really think it's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, hockey players are big, bulky, competitive guys. I think there's going to be fighting, and to some degree, there needs to be to kind of police the action. And I'm not advocating fighting, and if you're a parent listening to this on your way to taking your kid to Little League, don't encourage your kid to fight. But I just think there's so much physical contact going on that – to some degree, it's going to happen, and you can like it or not like it, but that's just part of the game, I think.
I totally agree.
Yeah, okay. Now, Mac, give us a plug for – I know you wanted to say something about some games people can watch this weekend on TV.
Yeah, there's a couple of games that are going to happen on a national basis, so I think that's always worth taking a look. On Sunday, Philadelphia and the New York Rangers are going to play on NBC, and those two teams play tonight, so it'll be the second game of a back-to-back game. That always is great theater because there's a lot of emotion that boils over from one game to the next.
Yeah, and it's like a 15-hour turnaround, too, isn't it?
Yeah. It's about as big as it could be. And both teams, being in the Eastern Conference, they hate each other, New York and Philadelphia do. Sean Avery's back in the league. I don't know if anybody knows who he is, but he's been a real lightning rod.
Yeah, now he got suspended for talking trash about girlfriends, right? I that's ridiculous. But we'll talk about that some other week because we're running out of time.
The other game is the Capitals versus the Thrashers. I would say not as big a marquee matchup, but anytime you have a chance to watch Alex Ovechkin, I think
Absolutely.
He is definitely worth the time. He's very exciting.
Yeah, he is very exciting. Mac, and do you have a personal plug way people can reach you?
Through the Sport Buffet, I guess.
All right. Email the Sport Buffet live at thesportbuffet.com. Both Sport and Buffet end with one T. Mac, that was good stuff. Thanks so much for coming on.
Happy to help.
All right. This is the Sport Buffet on the Sport Buffet Radio Network. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to Justin Barney from the St. Augustine Record, and we're going to talk some NCAA basketball. We got some more NBA talk to go. This is the Sport Buffet.